Broadcasting on 103.2, this is Dublin City FM. And all that is now, and all that is gone, and all that's to come, and everything under the sun is in view, and the sun is eclipsed by the moon.
Hello, good evening and welcome to the Astronomy Show here on 103.2 Dublin City FM with John Dixon and myself, Ben Emmett. And good evening, John, of course.
And good evening and hi, everyone.
Hi, everyone. As ever, our email address is astronomy@dublincityfm.ie and the text and WhatsApp number is 087-179-1032. That's 087-179-1032. Excuse me, we have a very special guest with us this evening on the line, Sean O'Carolloon. He's a filmmaker. We have had him on the program before in studio, but he's on the line this evening, and we're going to talk about what we spoke about last time, his film and documentary about not so much astronomy, but the people in Ireland who are the astronomers, I suppose, and the people who have a passion for astronomy in Ireland. And he is on the line, I believe. Sean, are you there?
I am, yes. Hi, how are you doing, guys?
Oh, yes, great. We can hear you nice and loud and clear. That's great. Thanks for coming, joining us this evening on the phone.
No problem. Thank you for having me.
Yes, it's great to have you back again. Now, when you were here, I think it was sometime last year, we were talking about your documentary that you were making about Irish astronomer people in Ireland who are involved in astronomy, and you have completed the film, and congratulations on that. I believe it's a full 60 minute documentary, which is great, and I know the IAS are doing a little screening of it next Monday, I believe. If you look up irishastrosoc.ie, you will find it there, but it will be available. Tell us again about it, and basically what the future plan is, but of course tell us a little bit about this documentary and where you got the idea from, and I suppose it's what it involves and what's the contents really.
First and foremost, as an amateur astronomer myself, it's kind of a lifelong passion. It's also the case that as a creative filmmaker, it was something that I had thought about doing. I think it's probably around 2013, thereabouts, I had some sort of an idea to do more or less kind of a short film. And it was actually kind of, I think, more about my own interest in astronomy. And that was at a time when I didn't know that many other astronomers in Ireland. And over the years, obviously, that's changed, and it's been very interesting to meet so many different people with such different knowledge and interests, you know, different specific aspects of astronomy, whether that's radio astronomy, whether that's, you know, studying meteors and tracking them, whether it's people who are crazy about the aurora, you know, aurora hunters and so on, and to people who are absolutely nuts about astrophotography, so much so that it's almost like a drug, you know, it's almost like an addiction. They get that high, including myself, you know. I was out shooting the other night when it was actually a new moon, and I managed to get, I think I got about 2.5 hours, and I started a mosaic on Andromeda. And you see, I think some people might look at that and go, well, it's someone just taking pretty pictures, do you know what I mean? But the truth is, there's a huge interest in the whole subject matter behind taking those pictures. And I love when I do take those pictures, just the same as all the others that I met, all the other people that I've met who do the same, exploring what's in those photographs. And sometimes, you know, I don't even use my go to a specific object. I'll just maybe even shoot part of the sky that I don't know anything about, load that up into pieces of software like astrometry.net, nova.astrometry.net, and find out what's in there. So that's been going on for years, and then I met all these people and I said, God, there's a story there. And you know, there's people like Brian Cox, there's people like Darrow Breen, and they do the science of astronomy. Yeah. And I'm very much a people person, and I would share the same struggles as everybody here in Ireland that does astronomy, whether you're a visual observer, or whether you're a photographer, or whether you're someone who likes to read about it and study online. So the film itself features a number of interviews with people that, you know, are very, very passionate about astronomy overall, whichever aspect of it is they focus on. And we share a little bit of information in it with regards to what those struggles might be, whether that's light pollution, whether that's weather, whether that's other factors as well, such as the costs that are involved, but also access. And there is another aspect to it where you're speaking to professionals, so those that actually get paid to do astronomy, and they get to use very, very, you know, advanced technology like the Southern Observatory, the European Southern Observatory down in Chile. And also the telescopes in, I think it's Mauna Kea, I think that's where it is in Hawaii. And a couple of, like a few others, and including the man from Ireland who under Tom Ray, he got to lead the team to develop the one instrument on board James Webb that's actually potentially going to tell us exactly how old the universe is, you know, precisely, maybe see the very first light after the Big Bang. And that's a huge thing, you know. So this film that's out there at the moment is a pilot to essentially demonstrate that there is, you know, a lust, a desire to see a better film about the whole community that exists, because in an hour, you're very limited. You can't show everything. And also, I didn't have any budget, you know, like I was given a bit of support from the local community, a regional community, I should say, financially, and I think it totaled about €1,675 there or thereabouts. But obviously there's a lot of labour involved, there's a lot of work, not only in capturing it, but editing, then sourcing music and paying for rights, and, you know, the specific rights around all of that. So the goal is to build an audience with this film that showcases to the likes of Screen Ireland, the British Film Institute, and a few other funding bodies that if they were to give us a budget where we could hire crew, where we could put a cast in, where we can actually do some recreations, because I actually originally wanted to show how astrophotography developed from the 1800s, the mid-1800s, up to today. Because it's a fascinating process back in the day, and there were very specific Irish people involved in its development, including one man who did an awful lot, Wilson is his name, and he had his own observatory in Darramona there in Street, County Westmeath. It's now derelict. That's kind of in this particular film as well, to an extent. But it touches on this, and I couldn't go much further. And the goal is to create a feature documentary that would be almost 2 hours, that would have the time and would have the resources behind it to be able to actually create something that would put us on the world map in terms of our history and the current landscape of pursuing astronomy in Ireland today. People of all walks of life and all. That was actually the ultimate goal with this film. It was to show that, you know, an astronomer is everybody and anybody that has a pair of eyes and is interested in the night sky. All you got to do is walk out and look up.
Yeah, well, you can't talk about Irish history, really, can you, without mentioning astronomy? If you go back to, and I was what's the place up at Mead? Not too far from us. I nearly said Stonehenge for a moment, but Stonehenge is nowhere near as old as Newgrange, of course, and Nowt and Dowt. And, of course, you're talking about astrophotography, of course. One of the forerunners of the day was, wasn't it, Lord Ross back in the mid-1800s? Was it his wife or sister was more into the photography? Some of the early astrophotography was done there, wasn't it? Although he did a lot of drawings, I believe. But
He did. Well, he kind of set the bar for actually studying and defining what a nebula and what a galaxy really was. And, you know, ultimately, that's kind of one of the key points around the Irish contribution to astronomy overall, because that's what Dr. Patrick Kavanagh talks about in this particular film as well, the fact that, you know, a bunch of very enthusiastic, shall we say, well-off people came together to create a really large optical device that was able to resolve and determine that, well, what we once thought was a nebula is actually our nearest neighbor galaxy, 2 million light years away, thereabouts. And, you know, we now have a team of Irish people that have come together to create, not particularly the telescope per se, but one of the instruments, perhaps most important instrument on the James Webb Space Telescope. And you know, it's about that whole pioneering side of things. And obviously that team then obviously operates that. Yeah. And then he gets to see stuff that, he's probably the first person in the world and ever in history to have seen out there in the universe.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it's one of those things where I try to kind of, you know, correlate the historical achievements with the present day achievements in this current film that we have now, Die Hard Astro.
Okay, Sean, it's little old me here. Good evening to you.
How you been?
You were mentioning the fact that you were taking a mosaic of Andromeda. Now, I've been out over the weekend and Saturday. 4 o'clock in the morning is my favourite time. And everything is almost vertical at the moment. If you look at Cassiopeia and you take the two liner marks, but you get a sore neck looking up in the air at that hour of the morning. But it is very dark just before it gets bright. When you say you do a mosaic, what exactly do you do? Do you take a stacking process? Do you take just photograph after photograph, or what happens?
Well, yeah, you have to take multiple images of different parts of that particular section of the sky. So you split it up into different panels, and you would obviously have a portion that you need to kind of overlap as well. So you have to kind of measure it out. You have to, the software that can help you with it, there's a software in Windows called Nina, and then you have software on other computers called the ASIR, but you also have it in a website. There's a website called telescopius.com, and it can help you to plan out exactly how many panels you need to shoot to get the actual image you're looking for when you want to capture everything, because specific telescopes can be very, very tight, and you're only getting a portion of the galaxy. And to do the image justice, you want to get it all. So I've split it up into four panels. So I need to shoot each of those panels separately, and each panel will contain roughly, for Andromeda, between 40 to 60 images, each one about 3 minutes long. And then obviously you have to shoot your fats and darks and your biases as well to be able to subtract all the negative stuff, dust notes and stuff like that. And then, yeah, you stack it. Now, there's free software that you can use. One is called Cyril. And you can stack all of your individual panels first. And once you have those done, then you can create a brand new sequence, as it's called. And you can stack, I will stack these four panels, as I described. And then I'll get one very, very large photograph. And the beauty of that software is it will even out all of the overlaps, so it's one smooth image. And it's free, as I said. And yeah, and that's part of the, I think, fun of doing the astrophotography side of things as well. And, you know, sometimes I see multiple satellites in my images, in individual images. And some of them, they're quite regular, so you get to recognize them. But the odd time I see stuff that I haven't seen before, and I wonder what it is. And then sometimes it's just an artifact in your camera. But I have a second telescope, so sometimes I'll actually try and see what I'm seeing on the screen as the images are being taken. And you know, it's just as much fun to do that and explore, because you can't use the telescope while you're actually imaging, so it's good to have a second telescope. So I just have a small refractor,
okay,
70mm refractor.
I was just going to ask the question, what type of equipment are you using? Is it a camera? Is it a CC, whatever they call them?
I don't use an astro camera. I actually have a few, because I work in media and I have old cameras lying around. I have old DSLRs. So I actually modified a couple of DSLRs, and that means taking out the stock filter that's covering the sensor,
yeah,
and replacing it either with a with an IR, an infrared cut filter, or leaving it alone, which means that you go full spectrum. And then you can put filters on the front of that. So I've done the same. I've done both. I've done one which is full spectrum and one which is IR cut. Yeah. So I don't have a cooled camera, as it's called. So I still get a lot of noise, but yeah. I use the cameras on my Newtonian, which is a small 5-inch, and it's a really good telescope, and I'm very happy with it. But it's on a go-to mount, so I use that with a ASI Air computer. It's a mini computer.
That was my next question. That was my next question. Do you have them on a tripod of some sort with a tracker device? You mentioned the word
guide camera.
Yeah.
A go-to mount. So it's computerized and it saves a lot of time. It saves a lot of hassle, and it also means you can actually polar align within 3 minutes or even less sometimes, you know.
Yeah.
And especially if you keep putting the tripod back in the exact same spot, it's very quick, you know.
You have to markings on the floor, I think, little chalk marks.
I have concrete down where I put my tripod, so I was able to scrape in, you know, just a little marker here for each of the legs, and then a north. I use the magnetic compass to be able to find it, but it doesn't always work. But once you set up in the same place, relatively easy to get it all ready. And obviously the next challenge you have then is waiting for those clouds to, dissipate.
we've been lucky over the last week or so. I don't think last night was great. The night before and Saturday night into Sunday was marvellous. Yeah.
I was watching Orion rising the night before, and I was also observing Saturn, which was wonderful to see come back. Venus then, you know, was really bright. I almost mistook it for Mars, because it was like an orange tint to it, a glow, and I was like, that can't be Mars. Mars is too far away.
No, Mars is a little bit dimmer.
Very dim at the moment.
Dimmer and orangier, as you well know. So.
Yeah, exactly. There's a few more... you know, you're able to see the square of Pegasus and, you know, Perseus and all the rest of it a lot clearer the last few nights, because astral darkness is starting to come back. And I think, you know, one of the people in this documentary, Tom O'Donoghue, he mentioned something in it which is quite significant for me. He mentions, you know, we're actually a little too far north for the Milky Way, and we're too far south for the aurora. So we're kind of in a nick band, he says, you know. But we have to take what we get. And I think, that being said, when you see the winter sky coming back, I mean, it's wonderful. It's incredible. And when you go into some of the dark sites, especially like, for instance, Mellifont Abbey in County Louth there, you know, that's an old monastery. You think yourself what they must have seen, you know, when it was running, you know, hundreds of years ago, but even 100 years ago, when there wasn't any light pollution compared to what we have today, like, you know, it must have been a sight to behold, you know, when you see Orion rising there, especially, and when there isn't that much humidity and it isn't, you know, hazy, you've actually got a clear sky. It's mind-blowing.
It is.
So I think everybody who has an interest in the night sky shares that passion. And some of the people who have watched the documentary, who wouldn't really have been, you know, general astronomers, they wouldn't really have gone out and observed the night sky, have actually said that, you know, they've found it really, really interesting, and now they're talking about actually getting into it, you know. And that's one of the goals of the film, was to inspire people to actually get out there and do something that, it's free, really, if you don't go too deep into it, you know. Obviously, astrophotography is expensive, but... just being able to know the constellations, even by eye.
And it's even amazing.
Spend hours in there.
I was just going to say, it's even amazing, even with a relatively cheap pair of binoculars, the amount of extra things in the sky you can see. Even in a relatively light, polluted urban area, a pair of binoculars with cheapish 10x50s can make a huge difference.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I mean, you know, like, you can see other objects, including comets, and you can see, I mean, you can even see the satellites tracking faster across the sky and better with a pair of binoculars. But it also puts it into perspective, because the closer in you go, you can actually see how fast those objects that look like they're standing still are actually moving, you know? And I think the overall feedback that I've gotten for the film so far is that, you know, it's a great start and more, you know, is possible, and people really enjoyed it. With regards to where people can see it now, yes, we're doing a private screen in UCD in South Dublin there now on the 29th, which is this Monday.
Next Monday?
So that's actually, Monday coming. So, I mean, like, that's one where I said I'd like to kind of, there'll be a lot of people there who have actually seen it, but there's a few people who are actually in the documentary as well. And I'm going to do a very, very short Q&A afterwards, because the film is an hour long. And obviously when they do talks there, it goes on for quite a while. But, you know, I might do a 15-20 minute Q&A if I'm given the time afterwards, which will help to give people perspective as to what the film is all about and what my next steps will be and what I'm looking to do in the future.
Yeah, that's good. I look forward to it. It's in the Beech Hill building in UCD. I know you can get information on Irish astrosoc.ie. That's SOC for sock.
Yeah.
And really, really looking forward to that. I plan to be there for sure. For sure. Absolutely.
Yeah. More than welcome.
Just a reminder to our listeners, it's called Die Hard Astro. The human drive to unravel the universe, and it's about the people in Ireland involved in astronomy as opposed to, well, I presume you have some nice images and graphics as well, but
there's quite a lot of stuff that was contributed by people who are, you know, obviously imagers, but not only that, because I was able to get access to the European Southern Observatory's database. They, you know, have stuff that's available to the media. So I got quite a lot of video, a lot of film, and a lot of imagery that's been obviously animated, and it's, you know, it's from proper ground-based telescopes, but also from James Webb film, as in, like, well, what I would call film, but, you know, motion film.
Yep.
And, you know, even from Voyager as well, and some stuff from NASA as well. So there's been a good bit of support from the official bodies for the whole venture, and it's by no means, you know, a huge budget film. Like, I mean, I push, you know, quite a lot of my own time and effort and money into it, because it wouldn't have been possible to do it if I didn't pay myself. And like I said, you know, almost €1,700 from public supporters. And it went quite away, you know, but the ultimate goal now is to, as I said, prove to the funding bodies that, you know, if they were to give the money to provide a proper crew and do something really, really good on a cinematic level that we could put into festivals worldwide, they'd get their money back, in other words. Because, you know, the old saying, money talks and walks. So, that's the gist of it, you know.
Anyway, after Monday, where can people go to see this?
They can go onto my website, which is skyhiie.com, and then just /, and then it's DHIA. So if you type in Die Hard Astro on Google, it should come up, and it's €5 to watch it, and all the proceeds go back into the pot for creating the feature, and also, you know, showing to the funding bodies as well that we have an audience that's willing to pay.
Well, you have one fan going on Monday anyway.
Oh, that's definitely my
the mission.
That's my mission for next Monday over in DCU with the IAS. Die Hard Astro, the human drive to unravel the universe. We certainly wish you the very best of luck with it, Sean. I'm sure it's. I'm looking forward to it anyway. I might see if I can drag John along as well.
I'll have to.
Actually, you might as well. Then.
There you go. Yeah. Anyway, great talking to you.
And we'll see you again. Thank you very much for joining us this evening, Sean. And we'll talk to you again. All right.
Thank you to you both too, and clear skies to you. Thank you.
Yep. And thank you. Thank you very much.
Bye.
That's Sean O'Carroll, and his film Die Hard, Astro, The Human Drive to Unravel the Universe, is showing next Monday at 7:30 p.m. over in UCD, and you can get information on that on the irishastrosoc.ie website. And he said you can also get it on his own website. Let's say Google Die Hard Astro on YouTube and you get it, and that'll cost a fiver, but it'll, as you said, the money goes towards helping to pay for this one and also towards funding a longer version.
Yeah, he mentioned that he was out the other night watching Venus, which he thought was Mars, and unfortunately not. Venus is the brightest one at the moment. It's rising at around 4:30-ish in the morning. So you've got to watch it come up a little left of due east. You get that quickly, to say that quickly. And far below bright Jupiter is somewhat to the left. Mars, it's a weak magnitude of plus 1.6. It's in Virgo at the moment and very catchable, or maybe just catchable, with binoculars in a very low sky, west-northwest, as twilight fades. Try, if you can, about 30 to 40 minutes after sunset, and we want to wish you good luck on that one. Jupiter, on the other hand, is quite bright as well. It's minus 2.1 in Gemini. It rises around 2:30 a.m. Nice sight to see. It's around where Castor and Pollux are. Which is
Gemini?
In Gemini is right, and I was out the night before. It was Saturday evening into Sunday looking at this, and I did initially think it was Venus, but it wasn't. It was actually Jupiter, and it's quite bright. Saturn was at opposition, and today is the 23rd, so a few days back. It still rises around sunset and looms low in the east-southwest as well, so it only shines at a magnitude of plus 0.7, so it's quite difficult to see. And of course, the two, the terrible two, Uranus and Neptune, plus 5.7 and plus 7.8. Very difficult to see. You need a telescope or a very, very good pair of binoculars to see these two, but you can Google them where they are in the sky. And was it last week they were close to the moon or something like that? It was, they were quite close. There was a good few markers in our skies showing where Uranus and Neptune were. Just grabbing a little bit of history over the last number of weeks. September the 18th in 1977, Voyager 1 took its first photo of the Earth-Moon system. What a sight. Brilliant. So it was September the 18th, 1977, and it was the first time both the Earth and the Moon were captured in a single frame, which was, I have seen this. This is a very nice picture indeed. And at that particular time, Voyager 1 was 7.25 million miles away from Earth in 1977. It's now gone.
Many billion?
Super. We won't call it supersonic. Super. I don't know what it is, but well, it's gone out of the solar system and it's out in somewhere between us and somewhere else in complete darkness. Still firing back information.
That's true. And if you were on it now and you look back in the sun, it would just be a relatively quite bright star in your sky.
Need a pair of binoculars or a telescope.
Well, you'd see without it, but it wouldn't be blinding, shall we say. Speaking of opposition, you said Saturn was in opposition. Neptune is in opposition today.
Yeah, it is actually, yes. You mentioned I did see that and I forgot to say it.
Ah, not to worry. Yesterday was the autumnal equinox and tomorrow is the Equilux in Dublin, but we don't have time to go into that at the moment. What's the difference between them? Maybe we'll cover it next week, but we have run out of time. Thank you, John. A special thank you, of course, to our special guest, Sean O'Carroll, who was his film Die Hard Astro, and we look forward to that. If you Google it, you'll get all the information there. That's all the time we have here this evening on The Astronomy Show here on 103.2 Dublin City FM. It's music all the way now until 2 a.m. Up next is Dublin's greatest hits. 10 p.m. to midnight, Nigel Wood has his ear to the globe. And from midnight till 2 a.m, Dave Barry's mix of jazz, blues and soul will be on. And please join myself and John at the same time, 7:30 p.m. Next week we'll be back with all the latest news from around the universe. Until then, take care of each other. Thank you for listening. And say goodnight, John.
Goodnight, John.
Goodnight, John.
By the moon.
broadcasting on 103.2. This is Dublin City FM.